So I'm going to set you up by asking a new question. You guys ready for this? Why do you get angry? Why do you get angry? Why do you lose your temper? Why do you get upset? Okay. As you're thinking about that, we'll go back to that in a minute. As you're thinking about the answer of why, or you're thinking of the person in your mind that makes you most angry, we'll get back to that in a minute. I want us, guys, show me the sermon series. I want us to prepare ourselves, the series. I want us to prepare ourselves for Christmas. I want us to prepare. How many love how beautiful this room looks with all the trees and the decorations for Christmas? Isn't it gorgeous? Well, here's what we did. On Thursday, I sent an email to the North Pole, and I told Santa that all the doors were going to be unlocked, and Friday I came in and everything was done. How many know that's not true? No, here's why that happened. How many know, you know, Auntie Norma, help me out. Where's Auntie Norma? Okay. Does this tree come apart? Yes. It comes apart, and these balls all get put into a box. And all this gets put into so you didn't just, you had to put this all together, decorate it all up. Okay. How many know, why did Auntie Norma and a lot of other gracious volunteers, yeah, amen. Isn't it beautiful? It's gorgeous. I mean, they don't got trees this nice at Nordstrom's, amen? Somebody say amen. But here's what I'm saying. This was purposeful. This was calculated. This was on purpose. This was done with intentionality. That you would come. What are we doing? We're preparing for Christmas. I want to talk for the next 3 weeks about preparing for Christmas. Because the reality is, you know what? If we went over to Home Depot today and we just had a mic and we were recording, we said, hey, can you answer some simple questions? Many people would say, sure. And we just ask them, well, tell me about the meaning of Christmas. You know, almost all of the responses would not be, Christmas is about we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. How many know almost all the responses would look something different? It's about family. It's about love. It's about giving. It's about presents. It's about food. It's about family. How many know that would be most of the response? And even if they got to it's about the birth of Jesus Christ, it probably wouldn't be the first or the second or the third response. It would probably be down there on the list. Here's what I'm saying. This Christmas, we have responsibility. We have responsibility to get people focused on what the Christmas story is really about. Here's the thing. Most people aren't going to look it up in Luke. Many people, I'm just talking about the people right now today that are walking in Home Depot. No criticism of them. I'm just talking about reality. Most of those people, if they have a Bible, they don't know where it is. And if they know where it is, it hasn't been read in a long time. So how are they going to know about Christmas? You need to show them Jesus. So in this series, and it'll be a short series, just 3 weeks, I want to talk about preparing you for Christmas. You know what? How many know, oh my goodness, Thanksgiving was so good, Tamara. You and your mom outdid yourself. I really enjoyed the food. It was delicioso. So good. How many know, you know what, and some of you guys help. How many guys help with the preparing? You know what? Wow, not too many. Okay, thank you. One, two, three. No, how many of you guys help prepare. Okay. See, but guys, whether you help or not, how many know you don't come to church? Ooh, thank God. Same thing. That all was prepared. How many know Christmas is going to be the same way? In the beautiful, you know what, food that you're going to eat, it needs to be prepared. I want to prepare you for Christmas. I want to talk about preparing us for Christmas. Because let me tell you what, there are going to be people, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, you know what, and some of them, you're dreading going to the family event. Don't raise your hand. Because your uncle acts like this, and your niece acts like this, and your aunt, oh, don't get me started on your aunt. She just won't. She's so irritated. She just won't. Hello, how many know what I'm talking about? And even if you don't know what I'm talking about, even if you have a family that they're pretty sweet and pretty nice, how many know that probably not every single one of them are saved in your family? There's probably no one here who has every member of their family accepted Jesus and they're going to heaven for sure. So we need to prepare. How many know preparing spiritually is more important than preparing the meal? Yeah. So I want to talk to you today about preparing. I want to talk to you today about being purposeful. Everybody say purposeful. Purposeful. On target. On purpose. Okay. And I'm going to show you some things. Oh, did you answer the question yet? How many of you can tell me why you get angry? Why do you get angry? When things are out of your control. Ooh. Wow. Remember that response, okay? When things are out of my control, you get angry. Why do you get angry? Thank you for your honesty. When things don't go your way, when do you get angry? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. And I'm going to go back to each one of you because I'll forget your response, but I want to. Why do you get angry? When things are out of your control, why do you get angry? When things aren't going your way, why do you get angry? When the guy cut me off. Okay, why do you get angry? People get you mad. Thank you for your honesty. Here's why, and all those answers are correct, but all those answers have something in common, and I think, really, if we're honest, it comes back to Peter's response. You know, I get angry because of, or we could say it like this, I get angry. They make me mad.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. How many could relate to that response? Like, I'm fine. I get up, I'm happy. You know what I mean? But they make me mad. Right? They tick me off, man. No, not anymore. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Right? I was fine until they did this, and when they did that, watch this, when they did that, I got mad. Follow me. When they did that, I got mad. I wasn't mad before they did that. Therefore, watch this, follow me. You guys got to stay with me today. Therefore, when they did that, I got mad, so it's their fault. Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying? It's not me. I was fine. I was sweet. I was ungrinchy. But they were grinchy, and that made me mad. That made me angry. That's when I lost my temper. I was fine. It's not my fault, Pastor. It's their fault. Come on, somebody be honest with you. You're like, Pastor, that is the truth. I was fine, but they made me mad. She made me mad. He made me mad. My spouse, my husband, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my daughter, my son, my boss, my employees, that guy on the freeway. You know what? They made me. I was fine. They made me mad. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you the truth?
Yes.
No one can make you mad. No one can make you upset. No one can make you angry. Listen to me. Without your consent. Guys, follow me in the back. I'm on the first point. No one, if you're writing this down, if you're taking notes, write this down. My first point, it's a very important point. No one can make you mad, angry, upset without your consent. Main words, that's why it's underlined, without your consent. I'm not saying that you're not mad. I'm not saying that you're not angry. I'm not saying that you're not teed off. I'm just saying, you know what? They can't do that without your consent. Colossians chapter, flow with me in the back. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Because let me, you know 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 1. You know what? If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, it's like a clinging sound. If I have faith that I can move mountains, but have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. If I give my body to be burned and give everything I have away, but if I don't have love, it's not a profit. Ultimately, I have to walk in love. How many of Christians have to? It's not a, there's some things that are not required. But in Christianity, you have to walk in love. First commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is not excluded from Christianity. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to walk in love. How many would raise your hands and understand? We can't get away from that. That's why Colossians says, but above all things. Why is it above all things? Because this is, you have to walk in love. But above all things, put on love. Interesting, we'll talk about it in a minute. Put on love. Talk about that in a minute. But here's what I want you to catch. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You don't have a choice. You have to put on love. What is love? Well, love is like when you go out with a girl and you kiss her for the first time and the fireworks go off. That's what it is. Okay, well, let's talk about what the Bible says love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with 4. Love suffers long. Everybody say intentionality. See, if you're going to be kind, that's what I'm talking about, the gift of kindness today. If you're going to act like Jesus, you have to, watch this, you have to walk in love. What's love? Love suffers long. Love suffers long, and it's kind. Love is kind. Look at your neighbor and say, with a smile, be kind. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Next verse, watch this. Love does not behave rudely. Love doesn't seek its own. But here's what I want to catch. Love thinks no evil. But here's what I want to catch. No, go back. Love is not provoked. No, Pastor. I was fine. They made me mad. No, nobody can make you mad. They can do stuff to you that provokes you, but love is not provoked. Joel had a cap on today in the first service. And I was going to go over there and take that cap and just pull it down over his head. You know what I mean? Over his eyes and his nose. I was going to provoke him. You ever heard this? I tell you what, they made me so mad. They just know how to push. All eyes up here. You don't got no buttons. You don't got no buttons. There ain't no buttons on you. Okay, let me teach you something. Everybody say Pavlov's dog. So this is a researcher, psychologist, and he wants to do this research. So he's got this dog, and the dog comes to get food. But before he feeds him his food, he's going to get the food ready. Before he feeds him his food, he rings the bell right before he puts the food down. Has the food ready, rings the bell, puts the food down. Day one. Next day, rings the bell, puts the food down. Rings the bell, puts the food down. Rings the bell, puts the food. He does this over and over and over again. At some point in time, the dog hears the bell. When he hears the bell, he starts to salivate. Salivating is part of the digestive system. The enzymes and stuff are already in your mouth, ready to break down the food. He rings the bell, feeds the dog. But at some point, he's done it over and over and over again. At some point in time, when he rings the bell, no food, guess what the dog does? Salivates. It's a response that is, that the dog does it based on this ringing a bell. Conditioning. See, I proclaim to you that nobody, I'm thank you for your willingness to help me. No one, what was your answer? And those things are many times people. No one can, there aren't circumstances. Here's why you feel that. It's because conditioned response. I don't know your parents. I'm sure you have sweet, sweet, sweet parents. But here's what I'm saying. Your mom or your dad probably acted like that too. Your grandparents probably acted like that. And probably so did yours. Oh, I know your mom. It's sweet, sweet, sweet people. But my thought is they might have got upset at some point in time. No. Thank God. Yeah, good answer. Good answer. Right? Right? And yours too, and yours too. And so we watch this. It's a conditioned response. And it's so conditioned that you really think, it's not me, it's them. They made me mad. They got me upset. No, no, no. I love every single one of you. Love you, love you, love you. No. You didn't walk in love. Love won't be provoked. Amen. Had a good friend of mine, and he said this, and it ministered to me when he said this. He said, "You can't make me mad." He said, I will not be upset with you." What's he talking about? He's talking about this passage that the Bible says love won't be provoked. I can't. See, listen, I can provoke this young man. I can provoke Daniel if he comes into, if he wakes up as most even Christians wake up. Not purposeful. What you doing? I'm just going to live my life, man. However it flows, that's how I'm going to go. See, that's what I'm talking about. If you're going to not be provoked, if Daniel, I do this to him because he's so sweet. If Daniel isn't going to, if Daniel isn't going to be provoked, I do that to him because he's sweet. He loves his pastor. If Daniel isn't going to be provoked, he's got to wake up on purpose. Because you're and that is the problem. I love you guys, and I do it too. We have got to, preparing for Christmas, we have got to wake up and make a decision. No one's going to make me mad. I will not give them that control. Tell me what you said again. Things. So watch this. Outside situations are going to dictate how your day is going to be. I don't want to do that. I want to be in control. I want the Holy Spirit to be in control. I want to have a good life. That's why many of you, you know what, you're like the Ohio State players. You know what I mean? Roller coaster. Say what? See, some of you are way too young to know that. Your roller coaster, you're up, you're down based on situation. The Bible says if you walk in love, listen, you can wake up in the morning and say, I tell you what, no one's gonna make me mad. I'm not going to lose it today because I won't let anyone irritate me to the place where I'm just not going to be provoked. How in the world could God tell you this unless you have control? Listen, you will be responsible for your life, which brings me to point two. No one can make, point two. You choose your attitude. You know the Bible says? The Bible says, put off. Guys in the back, go with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Look what it says, put off. Everybody say put off. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to bust you. You know what I mean? But I said don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever thrown up on your... I said don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever thrown up on yourselves? Pastor, that is gross. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But now you yourself are to put off all these things. Listen, if you ever threw up on yourself, what are one of the first things you want to do? You want to take that junk off. You smell. If you came up, if you threw up on yourself today and you're like, oh, man, but I'm running late. I'm just going to go to church anyway. And you came in, you would look gross and you would smell gross. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take off that junk. Can I tell you what? Look at this. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Guys, we have been too comfortable with carnality. The Bible says, give no place to Satan. And this has even crept into our homes where we treat our spouses, you know what, with contempt. We treat our spouses with malice and wrath, filthy language, you know what I mean? I tell you what, they make me so mad. You know what? If your dad, if your mom does this, you know, you're speaking to your kids. Oh, my goodness. Here. Yuck! This is filthy. This behavior's like throw up. And God says, get it off. Get it away from you. Put it in the dumpster. Don't wash the clothes. Throw it away. How many know with some stuff you just got to throw it away? No, just get rid of it. Throw it away. This malice and wrath. They make me so mad. You know what? Yeah, but they did. Hello. Wrath is it? You know what? That's not your position. You're not. I'm sorry. Are you God? You're not God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm the one who's going to say, you know what and when and how. You're not to judge. That's not your position. Your position is to get that stink off of you. Take it off. Remember, this is an old movie. Remember, what was it? Mothers, the guy he was... Mr. Mom. Remember Mr. Mom? And he had the diapers. I don't know if you remember this scene, but he had the diapers and he had these tongs that he was holding the tongs like this. Guys, that's what your anger towards your spouse, your malice towards your kids, your contempt, your filthy language that comes out of your mouth. I know I'm not talking to anybody in this room. Here, this is just for the Facebook people. Listen, it's gross. It's gross. It's gross. Take it off. Take it off. And then look what the Bible says. Look at verse 10. And put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him. Put on the new man. You know who you look like? You look like Jesus. Amen. Nobody can make Jesus mad. You know what they did? They hit him. They blindfolded him and they punched him and they said, prophesy. Prophesy like where we're going to hit you before we do it. You ever been hit? You don't know where they're going to hit you? The Bible says about Jesus, he was beat. You know, you ever heard that beat to a pulp? The Bible says that when they looked up and saw, they couldn't recognize who it was. If you lived next to Jesus and you would have walked by the cross and you would have looked up at Jesus, his face was so puffed up, so distorted because of the beating, you wouldn't have known that was Jesus. The Bible says no one took his life. He gave it. He would not be provoked. He is purposeful, full of purpose. Listen, this doesn't happen by accident. You're going to have to get up and make a decision, just like you decided to put black pants on and a gray shirt for me or a gray sweater. Just like that, you've got to wake up every morning and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on tender mercies. That's what I'm putting on. Well, look at next verse, verse 11. Look. Next verse after this. Look at this. Therefore, as the elected of God. Guys, you're elected of God. You're holy. You're set apart. You've got to understand your purpose. You've got to. Guys, I'm going to shout a little bit because I want to get the emphasis here. Are you with me? The people don't know about Jesus Christ. They're celebrating Christmas. They don't have a clue of what it's about. And they're not going to get a clue until you and I start acting so crazy different. You know what? When they looked at the apostles, here's what they said. Oh, my goodness. You know how come they recognized the apostles? Here's what they said about the apostles. They knew, oh, my goodness, these guys had been around Jesus. See, it can't, listen, guys, this Christmas season, you can't just be casual. How many know we're running out of time? And here's the powerful thing. Here's the powerful thing. If you start to look like Jesus, they'll get saved. Because you know what? Here's what the Bible says. It's the love of God that leads them to repentance. When you start loving them like Jesus loved them, when you will be purposeful that you're not going to get mad no matter what they do, I'm just not, you can't offend me. You talk about something powerful. You know the most powerful thing is love. Love never fails. It's so powerful that when they know that you should be ticked at them and you're not. When you do the opposite, they do something bad and you do something good. It shakes them. See Jesus. Can I tell you what? Guys, we got this. Here, I love you. Let's start here. This is deep. Let's start acting like Jesus. Oh, listen, we got this. But it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen on purpose. I always say purpose. Going to happen on purpose. We got to decide before. We got to spend some time, just a little bit of time, but make a decision. I like what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. He understood there were people walking with short dresses and low tops, you know what, and inappropriate things. And before he started his day, he made a decision. Let me tell you what, I'm going to check some stuff out, but the only thing I'm checking out is my wife. Come on. Amen. You can say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not married. Oh. Then, hey, don't check out somebody else's wife. Amen? That woman is either someone else's wife or she's going to be someone else's wife. And either way, she doesn't belong to you. So get your eyeth off her. That's not yours to consume. Side note, but really important note. That's no condemnation. That's just me telling you, You're not going to do that without being purposeful in your mind, in your heart. You got to wake up in the morning and decide to do that. Hello? Beloved, put on tender mercies. Kindness. Kindness isn't a response. Listen, the people without a covenant with God, they're kind to those who are kind to them. That's not who we are. Or we say, that's not who we are. We're kind to people who aren't kind to us. I'm going to start dancing in a minute. Ready? We are sweet to people who aren't sweet to us. Right? What is it? Oh, this is the Cabbage Patch preaching, okay? We are giving to people who aren't giving to us. Right? Is somebody together with me? See, we're not like them. We don't get mad because they make me. No one can make you mad without your consent. And that's what the Bible says, do this. Why does it just, it's an action, it's a decision. Put it on, just like you made a decision to put on pants and put on shirt and put on some perfume or whatever you did. Just like you made that decision, you got to make that decision. It's a choice. It's a matter of your will. You've got to be purposeful, because if you're not, people are going to irritate you all day long, all day long, all day long. And you're going to say, you know, I understand. It wasn't my fault. I was fine before he untied my shoes. Yeah. Right? Are you learning something? And my intentionality. Intentionality is the fact of being deliberate, purposeful. We need an intentionality to be kind. Because let me tell you what, you are not going to be kind on accident. You are going to respond to how they respond. And you slap, and they slap you, and you slap them back. And they're unloving to you, and you're unloving. That's where I would say many, I would say this, many Christians, that's where we walk. And God says, you've heard it said like this, but let me tell you what, I'm telling you, there's a different way now. I don't want you to walk like that. We do unto others what we'd have them do unto us. Watch this. What is, you know what that is? It's proactive. You're either a reactor or you're an actor. I'm an actor. What's an actor? Actors, you're not faking it, but you're intentional and you're making a decision. You're saying, this is just like an actor. What are they? They have a script. They come in. Okay, you're just to come in that door and you're to come up to here and you're going to say that. You're going to do that. And then you're going to walk over here and then you're going to turn around like this and you're going to go like this. What is this? This is all scripted. Is this not right? This is all purposeful. We need to live our life like actors, where we make a decision before the day starts. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I don't care how my spouse treats me. I'm just going to walk in love with them. I don't care how my boss treats me. Who in the world is going to minister to your boss if you're not? Hello? Just be kind. And you won't be able to be kind without being purposeful. You won't be kind without deciding not to be provoked. Has somebody learned something? I'm just asking, is the Holy Spirit, would you say, even before I'm done, would somebody say, oh my goodness, Pastor, you are talking to me today. Who would raise your hand and say, Pastor, you are talking to me today. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And my last point is this. You are all either a victor or you're a victim. But you cannot be both. You're either a victor or a victim, but you cannot be both. And we live in this victim society. It's not my fault. You know what? They did this to me. And after all, my parents, you know what? What am I supposed to do, Pastor? You know what? My mama had red hair. My daddy had red hair. You know, I had red hair and freckles. You do that in the second grade. See how you turn out. Right? And we come up with all these excuses. And listen, I'm not saying that you haven't been in a place of disadvantage. But think about it. Who hasn't? Who hasn't? Do we come the people that always say, let me tell you, Pastor, it's not my fault that I act this way. It's not my fault that I freak out. It's not my fault. And you know what? And we take no responsibility for our marriages. We take no responsibility for our kids. We take no responsibility for our grandkids. We take no responsibility for our homes. We have no responsibility for our life. Here's just how I am. I'm just, however people treat me, however I was mistreated, however the wind flows, I don't want to live that life. I want to live a life that I say, Christ, redeem me from the curse of the law. I am free. I do not have to be in bondage to anything, anything that my parents did, anything that my grandparents did, anything that my great-grandparents did, anything that I was raised around in junior high or high school. I am free from all of that because Christ has set me free. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up in the morning, and because of what Christ did to me, because of the Holy Spirit lives inside me, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to decide how I'm going to act today. Oh, that is a fun life. Do you see the difference? I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. But listen to me. You cannot be both. You have to choose. Think about Joseph, and I'll close with this. Think about Joseph. Genesis chapter 39. I have it up here on the screen. Genesis chapter 39, starting with verse 1. And I'm going to read several verses, but just follow with me. Don't leave me right now. Follow me. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. Joseph, you know this. If you don't, I'll teach it to you. He's got brothers. He's like, no, let me tell you this dream. They're like, let me tell you this dream. Or let me tell you where you're going today. They throw him, because they're so jealous, they throw him in a pit. They're going to kill him. They're going to let him die in the pit. Then their greed gets them. There's some guys come by. They're like, what? That was stupid to throw him in the pit. He's going to die. We can take him out and sell him into slavery, and we're going to make a bunch of money. They take him out, sell him to slavery. Boom, now you have it. He gets sold to Potiphar, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. They take him down there, and boom, now he gets sold. Next verse, watch this. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, we're going to talk about the successful man in a minute. Next verse. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The master, I want you to notice this. The master saw that the Lord was with him. Made all he did to prosper in his hand. Guys, this is so critical. What I'm going to teach you right now. Next verse. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. And served him. When he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put into his authority. Somebody say, all that he had. Next verse. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer, from that time of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sakes. Who did he bless? Why did he just bless Potiphar? For Joseph's sake. Not because of Potiphar, because of Joseph. Watch this. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Not just in the house, but in the field. Next verse. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and did not, and this is so awesome, and did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Wow. Things are multiplying, and all he knows is, I tell you what, what did we eat last night? All I know is I got some good bruschetta. Hello, somebody. If you don't know what bruschetta is, look it up on the internet. But it's like really good bread, okay, with some spices. And anyway, I don't want to start my cooking show right now. But that's all he knew. He knew he was blessed. He comes home from business. He leaves. He does whatever he wants. And he just keeps on seeing the stuff multiply. Watch this. Now, Joseph was handsome. Okay, that's not my point. Here's my point. You know what the Bible says? Go back to verse 2, guys in the back. Go back to verse 2. Look what it says. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Here's my question. Think about it for a minute. This guy, Joseph, is just come from a hole. Right? That's where he first went. Remember, later on, he goes to jail, but he gets blessed in jail too. And then he goes to the king, and he prophesies, and next thing you know, he's over all of Egypt. But the first place he goes is to Potiphar's house. But right before this, where's Joseph? Joseph is thrown in a hole. He gets pulled out of the hole, gets sold into slavery. How in the world did Joseph know that he was a successful man? Come on, somebody. How does he know? I read that and I thought, what in the world? How does Potiphar, how is he able to perceive that Joseph, how in the world could he be successful as a slave? Somebody, does this make any sense? Did Joseph roll up in a camel, you know, in a Mercedes-Benz camel? You know what? Did he roll up with spinners on his camel? You know what? Did he have a Rolex? How could he figure it out? How did he know? And he was a successful man. How did he know it? He just comes out of a hole. He's a slave. Well, if you look at the Hebrew, you'll understand what's really going on there. The successful, what it literally means in the Hebrew is this. Are you listening? It means a successful man means come in power, be forceful. So he sees Joseph, and Joseph is, you say, but Pastor, I still don't get that. He's, okay, so what's he doing? Walking like this? You know what I mean? I don't get what is that saying? Well, let's look into it deeper. Be forceful, i.e., have an overpowering force. Watch this. This is the key. A common force. Everybody say common force. You know what the Bible says in Colossians? We just read it. Actually, we skipped over it. But here's what the Bible says. That it, when it tells you to put on tender mercies, right before it says, you know what? Because, here's why. There's neither slave nor free man. There's nor Greek nor Jew. In Galatians, Paul writes, there's not female nor male. What does he see in Joseph? He sees Joseph is this common force. What's that mean? Here's what it means. He is seeing Joseph's acting and reacting, or not reacting, but there's this forcefulness of purpose. Joseph wasn't a reactor. Joseph sees everyone the same. He is blessing everyone. He is not saying, you are different than you, and you are superior to him, and he is down here, but she is up here, and he is there. No, he is purposeful. Joseph, he, in a short period of time, can tell that Joseph has this demeanor of treating people all the same. Purposefulness, where I'm not going to be affected by you. I'm going to walk in love no matter what you do to me. You know what that is? It's a force. It's the most powerful force. It's the force of love. And he sees it right away. He sees it even out of the hole. He recognizes. How many know you could recognize people when they act like Jesus? Here's what I'm telling you. Guys, understand the power that we have. Understand the preparation that we must do towards Christmas. People have got to see us like Jesus. And they see it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you read it, I don't have time to read it. But if you read it, guess what? He gets promoted. What's the guy's name? Potiphar. He don't even know. He just, as long as he's got something to eat, and he sees his house being blessed inside. He sees his house being blessed outside. It continues to be blessed. Then his, you know what, wife is like, ooh la la, Joseph. Ooh la la, Joseph. And right? And Joseph's like, I'm out of here, man. He walks with integrity. He leaves. Boom, Potiphar throws him in jail. You're like, well, guess what happened? Same thing. See, because let me tell you about the cream. The cream will always rise to the top. Joseph is purposeful. So it's purposeful when he goes to Potiphar's house. He gets promoted. When he gets thrown in jail, he's purposeful. You know what the guy, this is an awesome story. The guy who's in charge of jail, imagine this to a prisoner. Here, you're the prisoner. Here's the keys. I'm going to go to In-N-Out right now. That's what he does. Why would he do that? Here's why. Because Joseph is forceful. You are no superior than you. You are not more important than you. You know what? No. I don't care what you do. I'm going to be forceful. I'm going to walk in love with you and you and you and you. And you're all the same. I'm just going to love you all. Amen. That is somebody. Somebody walks in a room like that. And here's what you're going to go. Oh, my goodness. You know what you're going to do? You're going to invite the presence of God into your home when you start doing that. And you know what leads? You know what led you to repentance? The love of God. And your aunt and your uncle and your neighbor and your friend and all of them can get saved. Why? Because you decided that you weren't going to let circumstances dictate your joy and your peace and your kindness. And thank you for your honesty. And neither are you, and neither are you, and neither are you, and neither am I. The days of being controlled by people are over. The days of being controlled by the Holy Spirit have begun.
I was just sitting there thinking how responsive we are to negative things. That is the response. So we end up going through our whole day, through our life, being responsive to whatever's going on. But love actually is a proactive thing, if you look at what love is. And so how do we break these habits of being responsive? There's the couples conference that we did with Eckrich, you know what, and they use this phrase back and forth. What they're trying to do is they're trying to break you from being responsive. So one minute, you know, you're in the kitchen and whatever, doing whatever, cooking some bruschetta, and the next minute, you know what, it's like, wham, you know what I mean, just a little wham, and it's like, whoa. So when that kind of happens, here's what they say. They say, oh, because they say women want love, men want respect. So you say, oh, when he goes, right? Then you say, oh, I'm sorry. Is something I did disrespectful? Because what you're doing comes across really unloving to me. So am I stepping on your air hose? How many of you remember that thing? It's like, that's the line out of the couples conference. Am I stepping on your air hose? And how do you know you're stepping on the air hose? Well, because you're getting this reaction, right? And so usually what'll happen is someone's cutting off someone's air, right? You know what? And then you react, and then they react, and then you react, and then they react, and they call it the crazy cycle, right? So the crazy cycle happens not just in that marriage relationship. The crazy cycle happens in life. You know what? You ever experienced it? Here's what. Love is proactive. And so you know how you get out of the crazy cycle? In life, in the workplace, with your kids, with your husband, with your whoever, the way you get out is that you're proactive. Remember if you'll start to develop a habit of being very proactive to walk in love. I tell you, I'm talking about in the church. I'm astounded at some of the things, just thoughtless things that people say sometimes at the church to one another. We're just not thinking. You know what I mean? No one's trying to be evil. Like, gosh, Daniel, have you put on weight? You know? Who says this stuff? That's not cool. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not cool. But thoughtless things are said because we just aren't thinking. We're not thinking. And so those things just create little hurts, right? I sat down to eat my lunch yesterday, and I turned the television on. I'm like, I like to watch something while I eat lunch. Bad habit, I think, but nonetheless, that's what I do. So I turned the television on, and that show was on. I watched about 20 minutes of The Devil Wears Prada. How many of you have ever seen that show? I think it's Anne Hathaway. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I love this movie. But it's interesting because what's her name? Who's the... Meryl Streep, thank you very much. Meryl Streep is like some big fashion, you know, big wig, and Anne Hathaway gets a job there. And it's interesting how rude the whole atmosphere is. I mean, they're just very rude, and they're very unkind. But the whole atmosphere is just rude. I guess that's a good word for it. I sometimes walk in my home and I notice everybody's on their stuff, right? Does that happen in your home? This one's doing their thing, this one's doing their thing, this one's doing their thing. And it's so unrelational what's happening. It's very unrelational. This is a problem that is happening in our society right now. That we get so isolated with our technology, which we're kind of isolated anyway with our busy schedules, right? Well, now outside of the busy schedule, when there is that downtime, then we get so isolated with our technology. I began probably, I would say, about 3 or 4 months ago to just start to be very, very, very on purpose. I want you to think for a minute, whether it's someone at work or whether it's someone in your home, when's the last time, and how often do you do it in a day, that you do some of the things that love is? It's kind, and it's, you know, all these things. I started getting real on purpose to take that downtime of mine, that technology, and just begin to text my kids all kinds of things that I think about them. You know what? To tell them, you know what, because in our busy schedules as we're running, you know what, I wanted to be really on point. Here, I'm going to tell you a story. Tyler asked me a question the other day about my father. And in answering his question, I told him about something that had happened probably within a month of my father passing away. I was cleaning my bathroom, and I got a phone call. It's my dad. I picked up the phone and just said hello, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just cleaning right now." And here's what he said. Now, it's interesting because when he said this, I immediately filled with fear. My eyes welled with tears. And it was everything I could do to just not lose it. Here's what he said. He said, "I just want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you what an awesome daughter you are. I don't know if I tell you that often enough." And you say, "Well, why would that freak you out like that?" Well, let me tell you something else. It's not like my dad was not, my dad, like, talk about being the apple of someone's eye. Do you understand that? I mean, you know what? Remember I shared some of the junk that we pick up in life? And we hold on to this stuff. People, remember my the music teacher who told me all I was good for was chewing bubble gum and combing my hair. And then, you know what I mean? Remember all this stuff we talked about? So we pick up this junk. But you know what? You really wouldn't. That stuff really didn't. I mean, I was misconfident. Do you know that? I was so secure in who I was and just very, I don't know, very unusual, I would say. I really attribute that to my father. Because whatever everyone else thought, my father, I mean, I was just the apple of his eye. He thought I was super special. Always has. And he let me know that. Now, why did that freak me out? That freaked me out because even though I had that kind of a relationship with my father, even though it was a very, very good relationship, it's not like he would always say, hey, love you, hey, you know what I mean? It wasn't really, you know what, verbally proactive like that. I mean, once in a while, here and there, right? So when he did that, it scared me because it was unusual. Like, why is he calling me in the middle of the day? Why is he telling me this? Why is he telling me, I just want you to know you're such a great daughter. I don't know if I tell you that often enough. Well, I don't think he probably ever told me I was such a great daughter. And so it scared me. And sure enough, within 30 days, my dad was with Jesus. Yeah? It scared me because it felt like he was saying goodbye. It felt wrong, even though it was right. You know what I'm saying? So I thoroughly believe my father had just decided he was kind of done. There was nothing wrong with my dad. I mean, as far as, I mean, there's nothing serious going on. He wasn't the healthiest person, but, you know what I mean? There was nothing seriously wrong with him. And so when that all happened, it kind of scared me. But how often do you do what my dad did in a day to people around you? Not because you kind of, I really believe my dad just knew he was wrapping it up, even though none of the rest of us had a clue. How often do we treat people like what he did that day? Not because we're checking out, but because that's how we're supposed to behave. And if we'll get into a habit of behaving like that, it just automatically makes us very, way, way less responsive in whatever happens. You know why? Because remember when Pastor Drew, when I first got transferred to the store, and you know, that this whole little thing that he said about Joseph, that what was that word that he broke down for us in the Hebrew? So anyone remember that? Yeah, successful man, thank you. That successful man thing. See, that was Pastor Drew. He was just like, that's why it was like, that guy's fake because nobody's that happy. You know what I mean? Nobody's that happy, you know. Nobody comes to work especially and is all kind, you know. Good morning, good to see you. Hey, how you doing? Hey, have a nice day. Woo, singing. And it's like, come on, come on. But that's how he was. Is that how we are? Because see, that's how we should be. Whatever your style is of doing it, you still should be doing it. It ought to be real. So 3-4 months ago, I just started just getting really on point to just begin to say the things that we don't take the time to say. To begin to just love people, you know what? To begin to stop and smell the roses, you know, a little bit. You know what? To begin to let people know. Even Pastor Vegas, I tell Pastor Vegas, wow, you are awesome. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, Pastor Vegas is 1,000 in my book. She is, wow, what a jewel. But I began to ask myself, does she know what a jewel you think that she is? See, we don't have a bad relationship. I know she knows I love her. You know what I'm saying? We have a very good relationship. But is that enough? Or could I stop and take the time to, in the middle of the afternoon, just text her something wonderful? Just my thoughts about her. Does that make sense? And if we would begin, so love just isn't not reactionary, but it's very proactive. And if we'll begin to walk in love in a proactive way, we will take that reactionary stuff and we'll just start to eliminate it from our life. Amen? Amen.